If you love to travel, Capital One has a rewards credit card that's perfect for you. With the Capital One Venture X card, you earn unlimited double miles on everything you buy. Plus, you get premium benefits at a collection of luxury hotels when you book on Capital One Travel. And with Venture X, you get access to over 1,000 airport lounges worldwide. Open up a world of travel possibilities with the Capital One Venture X card. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
Should GLP-1 weight loss medication like Wegovy and Zepbound cost thousands of dollars? We don't think so. Try LifeMD.com helps provide insurance access to the leading GLP-1 medications. Visit TryLifeMD.com and check your eligibility for GLP-1 medication with copays as low as $0. Listen to Bridget's story after losing 55 pounds and using her insurance for coverage.
LifeMD helped me get covered with my insurance. Finding out that it was covered was huge. I've lost 55 pounds. I am so much healthier now that I've lost the weight. I would never be able to do it without them.
Get started today and check your eligibility for GLP-1 medication with copays as low as $0 at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
This is Murder in the Morning with Tony Bruschi and Stacey Cole.
Despite a video showing what appears to be a cold-blooded murder, we're talking about the sheriff and the judge here today. The attorney in this case that is representing former Sheriff Sean Mickey Steins insists there is more to the case than meets the eye. I'm hoping there is, because this is kind of insane. On September 19th, 2024, in a quiet courthouse in Lector County, Kentucky, Steins allegedly walked into the chambers of District Judge Kevin Mullins and shot him multiple times. The entire incident was captured on surveillance footage, and the images are as damning as they come. Mullins, caught off guard, scrambling to take cover under his desk while Steins keeps firing. According to defense attorney Jeremy Bartley, what happened in that office wasn't just the result of a single moment, but years of tension, legal battles, and alleged threats. It's extremely complicated, Bartley told Court TV's Vinny Politan, pushing back on the apparent open and shut nature of the case. This isn't just about what's seen on the video. That's a bigger story here. At the time of his murder, Mullins was a key figure in a lawsuit involving allegations of sexual misconduct against a deputy who worked in the courthouse. The lawsuit accused former deputy Ben Fields of coercing women on house arrest into sexual favors, with at least one incident allegedly taking place inside Mullins' own chambers.
Yeah.
While Steins wasn't named as a defendant in the suit, he was questioned under oath just days before the shooting. In the week prior to and the week of deposition, lots of people noticed that Mickey had become more and more increasingly paranoid, that he became sleepless, had gone nights without sleep, and there was an overwhelming amount of pressure on him, Bartley said, painting a picture of a man under immense psychological strain. The deposition, combined with what Bartley described as a number of people very interested in the outcome, had allegedly put Steins in a heightened state of distress. Attorney Ned Pilsdorf, who represents the plaintiff in the lawsuit, recalls Steins' deposition as being out of the ordinary. It was not your typical deposition of a sheriff in a civil rights case, Pilsdorf said, describing Steins' behavior as odd, but stopping short of speculating on how the lawsuit might connect to the murder. But having said that, I have no idea why his defense attorney keeps saying that my litigation, the litigation me and my co-counsel are involved in, was somehow a motive in all of this, but he keeps saying that. Stein's attorney claims his client truly believed his family was in immediate danger at the time of the shooting. Was the threat as imminent as he perceived it to be? Maybe not, Bartley admitted, but there was an objective threat to his family. That's a major claim, one that raises many questions as answers. If Stein's was in fact paranoid and sleep-deprived leading up to the shooting, how much of his fear was rooted in reality? What exactly did he think Mullins, or anyone else for that matter, was planning to do to him? In early March of 25, Bartley filed paperwork indicating that Stein's will pursue an insanity defense, arguing that his client was in an extreme emotional state at the time of the shooting. The move isn't just a legal strategy, it's also practical. He wanted to get Mickey on the calendar for an evaluation, Bartley said, explaining that Kentucky's backlog means psychological evaluations are currently running at 12 to 18 months behind.
Oh, that works well when you've got somebody in crisis. Doesn't it?
It's a fucking joke.
Man, I thought I was pissed off that I'd have to wait 6 months to get into a dermatologist. I guess I should settle the fuck down, shouldn't I?
Oh, I love it. I love how we don't value mental health in our country. It's just lovely, even though it's like the basis for everything we do and talk about.
Yep.
As the case edged to trial, the legal battle will center not on whether Stein's pulled the trigger. The part is very indisputable. He did. But on why he did it. Was he, as the video suggests, executing a judge in cold blood? Or was he a man consumed by fear and paranoia, reacting to a perceived threat that only he could see? One thing's clear, Lector County lost a judge, a sheriff, and any lingering sense of normalcy in a single shocking afternoon. Or was he being a vigilante? Did he know something about the judge? I don't know, considering there was basically a brothel being run out of his chambers. So maybe there's that. Or is the sheriff here involved in something? Was he involved in some of this sexual shit that was going on in the background? Basically, you know, you do this for me, I'll do this for you. Coercing women into having sex for favors. Or freedom, in this case.
I really want to believe that he's the hero in this story. I really, really want to. I want to believe that he saw somebody doing something he didn't approve of and took justice into his own hands, which I don't ever think is acceptable, but that's what my brain wants to believe.
I think it'd be a lovely story. Is it reality in this case? I don't know. Could be, but I don't know. The stuff that was going on allegedly in this circle, in the courthouse with the other, it was the deputy or whatever he was that they did the deposition on, with the judge. Who knew what about what? I mean, it seems like this ecosystem kind of had some of this stuff going on in it for a long period of time. And that's what makes me wonder is, you know, I'm imagining if you're the sheriff and you're pretty tight with a judge, which it seemed they were prior to this, you probably got a little knowledge of what the hell's going on around here. And if you were not immediately, or you did not immediately do something about it the first time you found out about it, tells me you're kind of complicit or maybe participating.
Yeah. Well,
I don't know.
At the very least, you didn't stop it.
You didn't stop it, and you're in a position of power to do so. Again, these are all just speculation and questions of what the hell is happening here. But I don't know that anybody is going to walk away from this looking rosy. Anybody in any of the judge, the sheriff, I don't know what the hell the family connection is about. The only thing I could think of, and again, this is just from my brain. I don't know. I mean, there's nothing to this other than me speculating is, okay, where would a logical threat come from to his family? and why.
Right.
Any
I want to know what happened at lunch.
Well, I mean, try to answer that once. Like, where do you think, why would there be a threat against the sheriff? And who would be making the threat? Any thoughts?
No. In my brain, no. Because I guess where my head goes is, was there something with the daughter?
Yeah.
Was there something? I lost track of your question. Ask me the question again. Tell me what.
Who would have a reason to make a threat against the family of the sheriff and why?
Had to be something that somebody found out, wouldn't it? Some piece of knowledge that was never meant to be discovered.
Yeah. My mind goes to a very disgruntled father or husband or boyfriend of someone who found out that someone was coerced into sex in exchange for freedom or whatever it may be, that you shouldn't be having to have sex for to get in a legal setting.
Right.
And somehow knew, again, this is just 1000% pure speculation. And somehow had knowledge that the sheriff was involved in this in some way, shape or form, or allowed it to happen or didn't do anything about it or whatever. And that person is so pissed off and they're trying to find a way of retribution here. And they're like, you're okay with this happening to my family. You better watch out for your family, because I'm coming for them.
It's very possible.
And then that creates
Papa Bear upset.
Yeah. And then you got the paranoia. You got, so he's fearing multiple things at once. He's fearing what his accountability is going to be in this other case. So he knows if he's involved in any of this stuff, he's going to be exposed at some point, and that's going to destroy his life and his family. And number two, there's a threat out on his family from someone involved in that. That's again, there's no proof of anything like that. That is 1000% my speculation on how these cards may fall and how the Legos may be put together.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I have nothing to base it on other than just pure speculation and trying to put the dots together in some way that makes sense psychologically. Or he lost his mind. Maybe there's something else completely going on in his mind that he is so distracted about and he's so paranoid about. Maybe there was a mental break. Maybe he started believing someone was going after his family and there was some sort of conspiracy out, to get him within the department. Or he was somewhat involved in something and nobody knew about it yet. And then that just led to paranoia and eventual insanity and, started having delusions about the judge and things of that nature. There's a lot of things that could have been going on here.
Yeah, and the psychosis that set in. So why was he not sleeping? Why was he...
Yeah, what's a trigger?
Yeah, what disturbed him so much that he started spiraling out of control?
Well, the fact that he started... it sounds like he started acting like this when he did the deposition. Or pretty close to, or knowing he had to give a deposition, and after he did the deposition is when it seems the behavior got weird. So that's why I think people are connecting it to the actual deposition, because what other event had happened? I mean, there could be something we just don't know about in his life that, is very tight to the vest, maybe. But, you think of horrible things in your life that, at the end of the day, you're going to look back on and go, yeah, that was horrible. And you will never forget. I would think this could be one of them, being, brought in really close to having one of your deputies who's doing this. And there's allegations of this being a brothel. And if you are somewhat involved in it or are just finding out the information, even, I think could very much disturb you, because if you have nothing to do with it, it would rock your world of, mm-hmm. it would completely blow up everything you view as being normal and healthy in your community. Or if you found out that someone in your world, daughter, maybe, was, you know, somehow, you know, taken advantage of or abused in this situation. I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of things there. I think some things may look bigger than they actually are, and some things that aren't are bigger than they actually are.
This is going to be such an interesting case. I don't see a lot of dates on when things are going to start happening, but boy, I'm chomping at the bit to get the info. Give us a nugget. Give us something.
I feel like this is another one of these cases where, I mean, we've seen so many where the checks and balances within, you know, police departments, within government agencies, within small jurisdictions, even large jurisdictions, if nobody's, there's no checks and balances, or the checks and balances are all corrupt, anything can happen. I mean, you can get away with anything. And if you're able to do it for so long until some hiccup happens, you just get complacent and you get comfortable with it, because that's the way they've always done things. I mean, look at the accusations that have come out, like in the Karen Reed case and the Sandra Birchmore case, and the corruption over there that is clearly has happened with some of the officers. Look at Delphi. I mean, there's so many of these smaller town jurisdictions that everybody, you know, they're all in the same boat together, where they really should be independent agencies that do check and balance each other. You know, obviously you're on the side of the state, but you're also in the interest of the truth. And if you don't have to put somebody away and you don't have to go after somebody because something exonerates them, then bring it out. But if you're in this thing where we're just going to run this the way we want, and hey, if we can take advantage of women, because it's all mainly men that are here, and you know, well, you know, so-and-so did it a while ago, or so-and-so is still doing that. Oh, maybe this is how we do it. You know, I guess it's one of the fringe benefits if you're a real shitty thinking human being and you're like, okay. Yeah. And then you just keep bringing in shitty people that go along with it. And it just gets, it becomes the culture rather than, you know, the horrible shock that it should be if somebody's acting this far out of turn.
An ugly situation.
It's going to be very interesting, and I don't think we know much yet.
Craving nonstop true crime updates? Press subscribe now and get the latest cases, analysis, and expert commentary delivered straight to your feed. Only from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today. She was the perfect wife. Always smiling, always supportive. A pillar of the community, beloved by friends, adored by family, and secretly researching undetectable poisons in her spare time. Maybe it was the way he chewed. Maybe she just got bored. Or maybe, just maybe, she had been planning this since the honeymoon. But if he had just paid attention, if he had just known what to look for, if he had only subscribed to True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts and learned the red flags, he could have heard every episode of Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Ad-free, and before everyone else, he could have seen it coming. Instead, he's 6 feet under, and she's shopping for husband number two. Don't be like him. Subscribe now to True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts.